At one point, over the past 4 years, an energy and environment reporter discovered how not talking about climate change and global warming, that's right, not talking about it, was suddenly a sign of a pretty big shift taking place on Capitol Hill.
Members of Congress did not want to answer the question. In some cases, they just said straight up, I'm not going to answer that. In some cases, what was really amazing is they literally ran into an elevator and the elevator closed when I asked.
That's Coral Davenport, energy and environment correspondent for the National Journal, speaking as part of a documentary. I interviewed her as part of a new frontline documentary called Climate of Doubt, which looks at how and why climate change has gone from a bipartisan issue to something barely talked about in the United States. It probably won't come up in the debate tonight. The documentary premieres tomorrow on PBS. Coral Davenport joins us from the studios of the BBC in Washington. Coral, it's nice to talk to you again.
Nice to talk to you too, John.
Also with us, and we want to welcome him back to the program, is environmentalist and author Bill McKibben. Bill, thanks for joining us.
Hello, John. Hello, Coral.
So, Coral, let's begin. What did you notice was changing on Capitol Hill? And give us a vague sense of the time frame here.
The time frame is pretty clear. If you look at 4 years ago, if you look at the presidential campaign 4 years ago, both candidates, John McCain and Barack Obama, were pretty much campaigning on the same promise to fight climate change. And it was part of the campaign rhetoric. You know, John McCain was running ads saying, I'm going to fight climate change. And John McCain had been a pioneer in pushing for meaningful legislation. It was widely acknowledged that this was a problem. And there was a bipartisan consensus on we have to figure out some kind of solution. Disagreement on what that solution would look like. This time around, 4 years later, the evidence that climate change is a tremendously consequential problem, the evidence is even harder. No matter who becomes elected president, they're going to have to deal with this enormous problem. And no one is talking about it. It's nowhere on the campaign trail. It's arguably kind of the biggest global economic, political, environmental problem that no politician is talking about.
And what happened? We've got polling data that shows that from a high in the 60s or 70s, Americans, by at least according to some polls, by less than half believe that global warming is caused by humans and is a crisis that we have to act on immediately. What happened, Coral?
A couple of things happened. I would argue in the reporting that I did, it all kept coming back again and again and again. I think to the Citizens United Supreme Court decision, which essentially allowed it changed the political conversation. It changed the way we do campaigning. It changed the way issues get talked about because it allowed for unlimited amounts of money. In political campaigns for advertising and for outside advocacy. And the group that would be the most hit or hurt or impacted by any kind of climate change legislation will hurt the fossil fuel industry. It will probably tax or regulate or, you know, in other ways cause problems for oil, gas, and coal. Those industries saw this legislation coming and kind of, you know, I've talked to them. They say they sort of feel like they're fighting for their lives and they have the means to flood the airwaves, to do tremendous campaigns to change public opinion about climate change. And also very specifically, you know, a lot of these groups, Americans for Prosperity is the biggest one. They were very open. They said, we are going to work to make sure that we only elect politicians who don't talk about climate change, won't do anything about it. These are the and lawmakers who even Republicans, lawmakers who do talk about it, who do make it an issue. We are going to spend our vast resources to make sure that those politicians don't win, that they get crushed.
We're talking with Coral Davenport, energy and environmental correspondent for the National Journal, featured in a frontline documentary that airs tomorrow night on PBS that I helped to produce and report. And basically what those financial interests were able to do is to flood the airwaves with people who had very contrary messages to what we'd been hearing about climate change. People like Fred Singer, who is a trained scientist, but who by no means believes in climate change and global warming.
Climate, to me, has become a non-issue. It's a phantom issue. There's nothing wrong with climate. it will change no matter what we do. It'll get colder. It'll get warmer. We just have to wait a little.
Bill McKibben, environmentalist and author, how do messages like that share the stage with the prevailing scientific consensus and move public opinion?
Well, they provide an excuse for people to doubt because, you know, it would be much more convenient if none of this was happening. At this point, though, the scientific debate, there is not even scientific, the political debate over it is beginning to make a little bit less difference in terms of perception, simply because everybody can just open their eyes and see what's going on. 70% of the country was in a declared drought emergency this year. 80% of American counties have had a federally declared disaster in the last couple of years. We broke the Arctic this summer, you know, just melt on a scale no one had ever seen before. And the result is that the polling data is back to where it was 3 or 4 years ago. There's now, I think in the latest poll last week, only 12% of Americans said they did not believe that the planet was warming. And what's behind, though, what's lagging, as Coral pointed out, is the political leadership. They don't respond to any of that concern from citizens because the amount of money being poured into the political system by the fossil fuel industry just has no precedent at all.
Does the environmental movement need a Smokey the Bear or a crying Native American, as was the case in the forest fire movement of the 1960s, the anti-littering campaigns of the 1970s, that better message global warming to compete with these very astute political operatives in Washington?
No, I don't think we're going to get, Polly the polar bear up there to make the message. I think at this point it really is clear to most people. If the drought, with its 50% increase in the price of grain, doesn't do it, then it's hard to imagine, in a sense, what event will. We're seeing truly geologic scale change in our lifetimes. The oceans have become 30% more acid. This is telling, and you can see it in the polling data. You can't see it yet in the political system for just the reason that Coral explains, that flood of money. But there's no, Smokey the Bear that's going to do anything to turn Jim Inhofe around. That's why they get those huge campaign contributions.
Bill McKibben, environmentalist and author, and we also spoke with Coral Davenport, who's an energy and environment correspondent for the National Journal. She's featured in a documentary I helped produce for the Frontline program produced by our partner WGBH in Boston, which airs on PBS tomorrow night. Coral and Bill, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.